So what I'd like to learn with you tonight is the sugya of Matanos Levyonim. And this you'll find in Megillah on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. In the Gemara itself there's not that much, but in the poskim there's a great deal. Exactly how you fulfill this mitzvah and what's the nature of the mitzvah. So the Gemara itself says the following. On the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Mamash at the bottom, it says two lines up before the end of the Daf, U'matonis Levyon U'toni Rav Yosef U'mishloach Monos Ish L'Re'ehu Shtei Monos L'Ish Echot U'matonis Levyon U'shtei Matonis L'Shnei B'nei Adam. No way. So it means the following. The Torah says, the Tanakh actually, it's in Ksuvim in Megillah, says Mishloach Monos. Monos means a minimum of two. Anything that's in plural is always a minimum of two. And it says L'Re'ehu. Re'ehu is singular. So it means two Monos to one person. A lot of people give tons of Mishloach Monos. But according to the law, all you're obligated to do is to give to one person. Give him two monos, two portions of food. That's as far as Mishloach Monos is concerned. Now, with regard to Matanos Levyonim, there it says Evyonim in plural. That means you have to give a minimum of two Evyonim. And how many Matanos are you going to give then? If you give out one Matana to each of two Evyonim, two Matanos. So in the case of Mishloach Monos, you're giving one gift with two monos to it. In the case of an evyon, of a poor person, you're giving two gifts, but one to each of the evyon. So the donor who's giving to the evyon is giving one gift, one matana, but he has to give another matana to another evyon. Is that clear so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we have here.
You're an accountant, so you're okay.
Yeah. Now, on the pages I gave you, which you can decide whether you want to take it or not, what you should have in front of you is on the top left, it should say Resh Nun Gimel. Okay, then, so you'll have the order. And that'll have two sides of a page, Resh Nun Gimel, Resh Nun Dalet, and then on the next page, you'll have Resh Nun Hei. And this is Simon Tes Zayin in the Gvuras Yitzchak. And if you haven't guessed the topic yet, it's Matanos Levyonim. Alright. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's in the Tur, and then later on in the Shulchan Aruch, Tov Resh Tzadik Dalet in the Laws of Purim, Chayav Kol Adam, Litein Matanos Le'evyonim, Ulefachot Shtei Matanos L'Shnei Aniyim. In other words, he's got to give a matana to one Ani, but that's not enough. He has to give another matana to a second Ani. Now, the super commentary on the tour is the Beis Yosef, author of the Shulchan Aruch, and he writes the following: Kosav Bagos Maimonios. This is one of the Rishonim, Perikama de Megillah. Mos Shechoshav Belibo Lechalkon Biyom Hapurim Biyom Purim. Okay, let's say a few words of introduction to explain the question that he's addressing here. What happens in a case where you decided in your mind, you have some money here on the table, to give that money on Purim, but you only made a mental decision? Can you change your mind and then decide to designate these moves, these money, for a different purpose, for a different staka, not for Purim. So that goes my money is quoted here in the Beis Yosef. It says the following: Eino Rashai. If you have a pen and you want to underline this, otherwise I have an extra pen here. Eino Rashai l'shanosam. This is a very unique halacha, because in staka, the fact that I decided, you know, that this money in my mind, I made a decision, I'm going to give it to staka, that's not machayev. That doesn't commit me. I'm not. You can't twist my arm. What'd he say?
The person, like, you saw somebody and you're going to help them, and something else came up that you just had to do something else.
Change your mind. That's all, nothing happened yet. All you did is you made a mental decision, and now you changed your mind.
Your mind decision doesn't...
Doesn't count. Except on Purim. Why? He says, Eino Rashai L'shanosam, Ela Oson Mos Atzman, those Mos he has to give out on Purim. Because he made a mental decision, he designated in his mind that these Mos on this table will be given out on Purim, he's committed to do so. Just based on what? His mental decision. Says the Beis Yosef, V'nira Shatam Mishum the svirle that stocker machayev ba machshava kmo shesovrim ktas poskim kmo she echtov betur yoredeya simon reish nun ches. Let me explain what goes on over here. The Beis Yosef says that there are those poskim who maintain that once you've made a decision on certain mos, on certain money, that it would be earmarked for tzedaka, then you have to give it. So not the way I told you before, that's the majority opinion, but according to these poskim, say the Beis Yosef, we have to be very careful. And just like in Simon, in Yoredei Simon Reish Nun Ches, you are committed to deliver these monies to the tzedaka, to the aniyim, because you made that mental decision, so too in Orach Chaim, Siman Tofrei Tzadi Dalin, the same law applies. And if you designated money to give to the aniyim on Purim, that's what you have to do, and you can't change your mind. In other words, the paradigm case is in Yoredeya. Yoredeya is where the halach is codified of tzedakah. And on Purim, we're giving out tzedakah. Now, the mitzvah the whole year round is a mitzvah of tzedakah. And on Purim, it has a different name. Matanas of Yonim. And on Purim, you have to give it as tzedakah, but here you have no choice. The whole year round, you know, you can decide, you want to give it stock, you don't want to give it stock, or maybe you want to give it 10%, 20%, whatever you decide. And that's codified in Yoredeya. On Purim, you have to give it stock. You have to give two matanos, one to each of the avyonim. And now Lagos Ashri is saying the following, that to the same extent that in Hilchus Tztaka, there are poskim who maintain that once you made a mental decision, and you designated a certain mos, again in your mind, that they will be given to tzedaka, that's a commitment, and you have to do it. Same thing applies to Matanos Avyonim. Why? Because Matanos Avyonim is tzedaka. Now that might not sound so radical to you, but as we go along, we're going to see. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, of course.
Oh,
sorry, okay. No, it's just to keep my ears warm because I just went up.
Yeah, no, but sometimes when you keep your ears too warm, you can't hear anything. So I just want to make sure, you know.
But I'm a bit muddled up, I'll tell you why. Because in the beginning you said that if you for stokka you don't have to.
Right, that's according to many opinions. But that also Shri is worried about those opinions that say that in stokka, right,
okay,
you're committed.
Well, that makes it obvious to me.
Oh, so isn't this obvious that if the law of tzedakah obligates me, once I made that mental decision to designate this money for tzedakah, that I have to live up to that decision, that therefore Matanos Avyonim, the same thing should apply. I made a decision to give these malos on Purim for tzedakah taniyim, and therefore I have to do so. But what I'm telling you now, Brian, if you hang in with me, it's not partial at all. that it might mean that although...
I have to give that exact...
Yeah, those money. See, it's on the table, right?
I want to take a check from the garden and say, listen, you take the money, I'll give a check to the...
Well, look, if the Avyonim will give you back the money and you'll and they'll be willing to take a check, that's a different story. Yeah. But what I mean to say is that if all of a sudden I decide that although yesterday I designated in my mind these most for Matanis Avyonim, today I want to change my mind, I want to give them to a different cause, you know, they come for cancer funds, they're raising, so I can't make that change. Just like in Yoredei and Hilchos Tzedakah, once I decided in my mind that this mos is going to go to the Aniyim, I have to give it to the Aniyim. I didn't make a decision which poor person I'm going to give it to, whether it's Joe or Larry or Steve. That decision I haven't made. But I've made a decision that these mos are going to Tzedakah, and I have to live up to that decision. The same thing applies on Purim, with regard to Matanis Avyonim. Now you might ask me, what's the big deal? Obvious. Isn't it obvious? Because the law of Matanis Avyonim is basically another application of the general law of Tzedakah. So that's what we want to study tonight. Is it true that Matanis Avyonim is Tzedakah? Now we're going to try to see... Yeah, what do you say, Brian? You have something in your mind there. I can't read your mind. You made some sort of designation there in your mind. You know, but I don't know what.
Saying more important too. I'll get it out.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
If you make a designation, as you said on Purim, and you cannot change your mind, there's nothing to prevent you from making an additional.
Yeah, you could certainly add. You know, we're always happy if you add. You know, but as far as those most that in your mind you've already designated them for Matanis Avyonim. That's what you have to do with those mos on Purim. And the Beis Yosef says that psak halacha, which is codified in the Tur, in Hilchos Purim, is just another application of the general law of Tzedakah.
The Matanis Avyonim is much more confirmed, if we call it like that. It's much more
strict,
defined.
Defined?
Defined than regular Tzedakah. Because Matanis Avyonim is not regular Tzedakah.
Well, so far I would say it is regular Tzedakah.
Yeah, we're going to get to it. I know the Rebbe. We're going to get to it.
All right. So we'll get to it.
I know where the Rebbe's leading.
All right. So if you take a look in the paragraph, again, what I'd love you to do, and you don't have to do it for me, if you want to do it for yourself, this is an excellent essay here, is to take a pencil or a pen, I have this to offer, and underline when I tell you to underline. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you don't mind, at the end of the class, if I can get back the pen and the pencil, I don't mind so much. I have lots of pencils, but the pens I seem to need.
Yeah.
All right then. So what I'd like you to do is to underline in the first paragraph. If you go up four lines before the end of the paragraph, you see the word Hare is the first in the line. Hare svirale la beis Yosef. Underline those words. Dematonis levyonim. Toras Tzedakah Allah. Those are the words I want you to underline. And you can mark the first paragraph, if you like, as Roman numeral number one. Okay, because this Roman numeral number one is going to be summarized by the line that you just underlined. That Matanis Avyonim is Toras Tzedakah. The word Toras here means the same category. It's a subcategory of Tzedakah. And when I say something is a subcategory, what I mean is that all the laws of the Av Malach apply to the Tolda. In other words, the Av Tipus, the paradigm of case, is Tzedakah. And that's where we have all the laws codified in Yoredei of Tzedakah in great detail. A subcategory of Tzedakah is Matanis Avyonim.
Could you say it's a part of the klal or not?
It's a klal and a prat. Zedekah Yisumo Shal HaKlal. So the Klal is Hilchos Tzedakah, and the Prat here is Mos or Matanis Avyonim on Purim. That's Roman numeral number one. Okay. However, now we get to Roman numeral number two, and that's the paragraph that starts Vehine. And here we're going to see that Tosfos definitely categorizes Matanas of Yonim as a separate mitzvah. It's not a subcategory of Tzedakah. How is that so? Because we have something called a magbit. Does anybody know what that word means? A magbit is a fundraiser. So we raised funds in a magbit for tzedakah. And the question now arises, are you allowed to use those monies for other purposes? In other words, the monies were collected by, let's say, the community to be earmarked for the aniyim, for the poor people. That was the drive. Does the halacha allow, I'm looking for a word in English, to redirect the money, I don't know if there's such a word, towards different purposes? It was originally collected for the purpose of tzedakah.
To reallocate.
To relegate. To delegate?
To reallocate, maybe.
Reallocate, excellent. Can we reallocate that money for other purposes? Mm. Let's say, for example, the city needs to build a bridge. Can we take money that was originally collected for the poor people and redirect it for the purpose of building this bridge?
Is this not on Purim?
No, we're not up to Purim yet.
Okay.
In a minute, we're going to talk about what happens on Purim, okay? What happens on Purim. But first I want to dip in to the Av Malacha, you know, to the Av Tipus, how do you say in English? The paradigmic case, right? The
archetype.
The archetype. And that's Tzedakah. Because as I told you, in Yoredeia, there are simonim upon simonim about Tzedakah with very great details. And then we'll get to the one humble simon in Arachayim Hilchus Purim about Matanas Avyon. But first, let's take a little bit of an excursion into the laws of Tzedakah. Okay, there was a magbit, and they collected money for tzedakah. Can this money be redirected? Reallocated, as Binyamin says so well. Oh. So the halacha is as follows. There are two bodies, so to speak, or two entities that are in charge of this money that was collected for tzedakah. One entity, if you will, one personality is called the Gabbai. The Gabbai tzedakah. Many laws in tzedakah have to do with the Gabbai tzedakah, exactly how he makes decisions, how he gives out the money, when he gives out the money, how much money to which people. That's the discretion of the Gabbai. But there's something on top of the Gabbai, believe it or not. And that's called the B'nai Ha'ir. Maybe I'll write it on the blackboard here. Do we still have... Yeah, look at this. There's something called the Gabbai, and there's something called the B'nai Ha'ir. Now, the B'nai Ha'ir are representatives of the city. It doesn't necessarily mean like on a kibbutz, you know, you get all the members of the kibbutz together and they take a vote. But there may be...
The council.
The council elected people that represent the entire city. Those are called the B'nai Ha'ir. For example, in many laws, there's something called the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. They are the seven individuals who are in charge of overseeing, supervising the city. So here's the deal in tzedakah. We made a magbit, a collection of tzedakah, for the aniyim. The Gabbai tzedakah has no rights to redirect that money. And we're going to use it for other purposes. But the higher authority is that of the B'nai Ha'ir. And if the B'nai Ha'ir decide that we have an urgent need in this city that takes precedence and trumps the need of the aniyim, they have the right to do so. That's the way the laws work in Hilchus Tzedakah. Now the question is, does the same set of rules apply with regard to Matanas Avyonim on Purim? Says Tosfos, No. With regard to, wait, give me a minute. There's a lot of details here that we have to work out. So I'm just let me, you know, my brain has to just sketch out, you know, the general outline. Says Tosfos, this Tosfos appears in Bava Metzia, that even if the Bnei Ha'ir want to rechannel the money that was collected from Atonis Levyonim on Purim, they have no right to do so. Now, again, since I encourage you to underline, what I want you to do, again, if you're marking this paragraph as Roman numeral number 2, is to underline three on the right side, on the bottom of the right side, you see three lines up. Do you see a word, ulam?
Yeah.
Ulam hatosvis sham bebab metzia. So I want you to underline those words. Hatosis shabba metzia. And then you could skip to the word kosmu on the next line. The af b'nei ha'ir ein yecholim l'shanos mos purim. That in contrast to the general laws of tzedakah, which as we said were the paradigmic laws, the avtipus, the archetypal laws, where the law is that the Bnei Ha'ir have absolute rights over the Magbit, and they, if need be, could decide to rechannel those monies. Not so, says Tosfos, with regard to Mos Purim. And in the next few words, he says, "V'tzarech biur." I don't understand. Maishno, what's the difference between Mos Purim and Shar Tzedakah and all the general laws of Tzedakah? The laws that govern tzedakah, the Bnei Ha'ir have the right to do a shinui. What does a shinui mean? Allocate the money. Now let's read the beginning of the paragraph. Then the floor is yours, Joel. Behine b'bav metzia, the Gemara says b'bav metzia, magbis migbat purim lepurim. If there was a collection of money for the sake of Purim, the money goes for Purim. Migbat ha'ir, if in the city there was a collection of for the poor people of that city, it goes la'osa ir. And then he quotes a bunch of Rishonim who write that in the case of Migbat Purim lepurim, dafka v'eina yochel shanos ledover acher hainu dafka legabei agabai, that just like in stock in the paradigmic case, the gabai has no right to make a shinui, so too the gabai who's in charge of this collection for Purim has no right to reallocate the money. Avon Bnei Ha'ir, in the case of Matanos Levyonim for Purim, according to those Rishonim that we mentioned before, just as in Stock in the paradigm case, the Bnei Ha'ir, which is the Me'al, you know, that's the council and the authority above the gabai, Yecholim L'shanos HaMigbas L'Purim. Just like in Stocker, they can do such a thing. They're endowed with that authority. So too, with regard to Migbas Purim, the Bnei Ha'ir, the representation of the city council, as you called it, Brian, so well, can decide to reallocate the monies that were collected for Purim. Ukimo b'shar tzedakos. Why? Because the ein chiluk ben Purim l'tzedakah acheres. So in other words, this line, if you can underline it with a different color, that represents what we saw in Roman numeral number 1. What do we see in Roman numeral number 1? Let's just go over it. That there are some poskim who say that if you made a mental decision that these mos are going to tzedakah, then you have to live up to that decision. It's an absolute commitment, irreversible. So too in Mos Tzedakah for Purim, Matanos Avyonim, if you made a mental decision that this money is going to be divvied up on Purim for the Aniyim, then you have to live up to that, you have to follow through, and there's no possibility of Shinu, you can't change. So too, according to the first group of poskim here in the second paragraph, the Bnei Ha'ir have a right to change the Mos that were collected for Purim and use them for other purposes, just like in Tzedakah. So we have an absolute equation then between tzedakah and matanos levyonim. Ulam, you see the word ulam that I asked you to underline before. Ulam means in contrast. Tosfos in Bava Metzia says no, that with regard to Mos Purim, Einam yecholim l'shanos. Even the Bnei Ha'ir do not have the authority to change the money and reallocate it. So?
Right. So that's just the Tosfot that says that.
Correct. But I call it Roman numeral number 2 because it's a deviation from everything we saw in Roman numeral number 1. So really, Roman numeral number 1 takes you from the first paragraph all the way to down to the lines that I asked you to underline here, the Ulam lines at the end of the second paragraph. That's the end of Hakafa Aleph. And that Hakafa Aleph represents an absolute equation between the Father and the Son, between the paradigmic laws of Tzedakah and the case of Matanas Evyonim. Matanas Evyonim is nothing more than another example of Tzedakah. However, now with Ulam, which is the Tosis of Bava Metzia, we get to Roman numeral number 2. That there seems to be a fundamental difference between Matanas Avyonim and Tzedakah. In Tzedakah, if you make a Magbid, the Bnei Ha'ir have the ultimate authority, and if need be, they have a right to change. They press the button and they rechannel the money. Not so, says Tosis, in the case of most Purim.
That's a better
most Purim Avyonim have to go to the Avyonim, and even the Bnei Ha'ir don't have the control over that money.
That's like a bit of a never start, because a person comes along and he says, I come along and say we're collecting for poor people in the town.
Right.
And all of a sudden we need money for a mikvah, right? And it's urgent.
So
now,
if
the here can come along and change that decision, and it's not going to the poor of the money, because we need a mikvah and the town needs a mikvah, and I'll give the money to a mikvah. But the person really didn't give that money for mikvah. Maybe doesn't think it's a solution.
He's an amoritz. He's an ignoramus.
Because he should have known that.
He has to know. He has to know when he gives tzedakah to a magbid of the city that the Bnei Ha'ir will ultimately decide if they want to veto it and say, this is not going to be, we have a more urgent pressing need. That's where the money is going to go. And if he comes along and he says, well, I gave it for the aniyim, we're going to tell him he's an amoritz. He doesn't know the Allah.
He doesn't know the Allah.
He should have gone to school in the Amic Learning Center. That's what we're going to tell.
I realize that, Rabbi, but in a lot of cases, a person gives money because you know it's going to somebody.
So he's an amoritz. We can't deal with amoratzim. We have to make a. Maybe we should put up a poster. No, when we make the magbid, you know, there should be a.
I know you say he's an amoritz, but he really believed that this is what he was going for. Why should he?
I don't know. Brian, I can't. Maybe he can appeal it to a high court. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the halacha is that going in, he has to know the laws of the magbid. He doesn't have the right to make his own laws. He doesn't have the right to dictate, you know, mandate his own autonomous rules. He's got to know the way the halacha operates. And if he doesn't know, that's his problem. You know, I can give you a million examples where a person could say, well, I didn't know. What do you mean you didn't know? Gain in yeshiva. Go learn in yeshiva. Find out the laws. You made a donation for a magbid. The magbid was of the Bnei Ha'ir. The Bnei Ha'ir have a right to earmark, to reallocate the money.
Brian said most of my point, but is there a thing with...
Joel, do you mind standing up? Because I see you need a little bit extra energy here. Are you falling off on me?
No, I'm just...
Oh, okay. I thought you were falling asleep here.
I haven't closed my eyes yet.
All right. If I fall asleep, it's only because I'm up since 3 a.m. But, this is the 6th year I'm giving today. But if you fall asleep, Joel, I don't know what that means. You know, maybe you also got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm just thinking what I'm going to say, which is...
But think harder, you know, because I can't read your brain.
Okay.
If you think with a little more extra brain, then maybe, you know, the Chosam Yilblin, they say about him, he used to read what was in your mind. But, you know, you have to have heavy...
So what I was thinking is, I know Bashir will probably come on to it, but with the... when you give Matanot Le'Evyonim, does that come out of your allocated tzedakah as such? Whereas if you give to the, tzedakah generally, that's your... X percent or 10%. There's a reason I ask.
I would say the following. If we go with Tosfos and Bava Metzia, then it's an open and shut answer. Tosfos and Bava Metzia says that there's a special mitzvah called Matanas Le'Evyonim, and it operates with its own rules and regulations. It is not a subcategory of tzedakah. And if you want to take money that was allocated for tzedakah, let's say, for example, if you know you might suck to give 10%, you cannot use that money for any other mitzvah other than tzedakah. This is a case of another obligation. The obligation is matanos avyonim. But your question, Joel, will be very relevant according to Roman numeral number one, according to Beis Yosef in the Tur, according to the Tosfos elsewhere in Shas the Mordechai that he quotes, that the laws of matanos avyonim are identical with the laws of tzedakah. We saw it, number one, that if you made a mental decision according to those poskim, you can't change your mind. We saw it that the Bnei Ha'ir have control and they can reallocate the money of matanos avyonim, just like they have that right with regard to tzedakah. Here's where your question becomes relevant. If matanos avyonim on Purim is not a separate mitzvah, but rather it's an application of the general mitzvah of tzedakah,
right,
then why can't I take my allocated 10% and give them for tzedakah? However, here too, I still have hesitations. Because since there's one day of the year in which I'm obligated in this particular form of tzedakah, and I have no choice in that decision, it might be considered a mitzvah unto itself. And you can't take your 10% allocated tzedakah money for another mitzvah. Even though, again, it's essentially the same mitzvah. That's why I said in the first case that, yes, you should be able to do it, but I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know if I missed it really because I came late or if it would be part of another shiur, but what is it about Purim that makes it the exception?
Oh, that's what this essay is all about. The essence of this essay is to explain Roman numeral number 2, why Tosfos thinks that the laws of Matanos Avyonim are new laws, and they are not governed by the regulations of tzedakah, and what are the repercussions thereof. The first repercussion is that the Bnei Ha'ir have no authority to tamper or to reallocate the money that was collected for Purim. That's the first repercussion. But we're still not answering, so what is the name of the baby? If it's not part of tzedakah, so what is it? And then, to put all the dinim of Matanos Avyonim into perspective. That's our goal for tonight.
Sorry, but Rabbi, I think Gordon's also asking, why do we give Matanos Avyonim? What makes Purim such a...
If we could only define it, we would be able to answer that question. Okay then? Vinira, are you with me on the paragraph that starts Vinira?
Yes.
And he says the following. In tzedakah, again we're back to Yoredeya now, in other words, the umbrella and the archetypal laws of tzedakah, you don't have a right to come over to me and say to me, give me tzedakah. I have a right to say to you, prove that you're an Ani. What about Purim? I'll give you an example just to play with your ears a little bit. On Pesach night, in the Haggadah, the opening paragraph is to invite people to join your Seder. Kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol. Anyone who's hungry, come in and have a meal with us. What happens on Purim? Is there also a kol dichvin yeseh v'yikabel matanos avyonim? Or do I have a right to say, I want to check your credentials, I want a signature from Rav Avadya Yosef, you know, that says that you're an Ani, you know, show me the petek. So he quotes Tosfos HaRosh, okay, and he says the following, Zelashono. I'll tell you when I want you to underline the punchline. Yesh mefarshim, di ein medadikim bedavar lomar ze ani v'yitnu lo v'ze eino ani v'lo yitnu lo. That when it comes to Purim, we're not going to say, well, he's a real ani, give him, he's not an ani. Ela but rather, look at the language, called dichvin yesei v'yechol. The Tosfos HaRosh is borrowing a phrase from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which has no bearing, you know, it was never formulated in the context of Purim, and he's using it for Purim. Okay? And he says, "Kidei," please underline these four words, "Kidei sheyu hakol smich." This, Brian, is the beginning of a clue to where we're going with this tonight. Kidei sheyu hakol smechim. The emphasis here is on the word smechim.
Everybody got emphasis.
Everyone has to be happy.
And we want everybody to be happy. If we would do this the whole year round, we would all be paupers, you realize, because everybody wants to be happy, right? And everybody wants to take money, right? So why not? But on the whole year round, we have a right to say, you know what? There are laws of tzedakah, the hardcore rules of tzedakah. I don't have to give you unless you prove your credentials. You're in great need. And now the Tosa Rush quotes a Yerushalmi. See, we think we're big scholars. We're learning Bavli. I teach a shiur every morning in Masechta Megillah. You're all invited to join me if you're up at that hour. I mean, I start at 7:30, so you have to be really up and out of bed. It's for people who daven at the 6:30 minyan in the shtibuch. So right after that minyan, I give the shiur. So I think I'm a big shot, because I'm going to finish, God willing, believe me, after all of Masechta Megillah. You don't know anything, Berzon. You never went to Yerushalmi and Megillah. What does it say in the Yerushalmi and Megillah? Ein medadikin b'mos purim. Elakol aposhet yado litol yitol. Translation, we're not careful with Mos Purim. Anyone who puts his hand out to take, you just give it to him. That's what I'd like you to underline. This Yerushalmi. Because this Yerushalmi really, as we say in English, I don't know if you're familiar with this phrase, sock it to you. You know, this is sock it to you. This is really giving it to you, you know, where it is. Saying it like it is. And then he goes on to say that other Rishonim have accepted this opinion of the Tosa Rosh based on the Yerushalmi, Ken Kosva Smak. And the Dagdabuk have called Poshet Yodolito Yitol. And then the Smak adds three words. You might want to underline those three words. Lassos mishte v'simcha. Why is it that anyone who puts his hands out, I have to give it to him? Because the goal of the mitzvah matoras yonim is to give him simcha. I'm going to start checking out his credentials, looking at his census. Where's your documentation here? That's not mishte v'simcha. The Ritva says, Ein medagdikim b'dover lomer imu ani v'royli tein olav. Maybe he's not really an ani. Elenostim l'chol adam sheyavo v'yitva. Anyone who comes in and requests tzedaka, we give him matanas levyon. Now look, here's the next line that I want you to underline. This is the Ritva. She'ein yom zeh midin tzedaka. You see that? That this mitzvah of matanas levyonim is not midin tzedaka, bilvad meaning it, obviously there's an element of tzedaka here, but it's not just tzedaka. Ella, please underline this, midin simcha umanos. Now we're both like, where does that word manos come from? Where did it fly out of? Where did it drop out of the sky? Mishloach manos. But wait a minute, the Ritva is not talking about mishloach manos. He's talking about tanis levyonim. Comes the Ritva and he says, you know what? There's a common denominator between these two mitzvahs. Mishloach manos, what do you do with those manos? What are you meant to do with the manos that you receive? Anybody know?
To eat them.
Eat them when?
On Purim.
When on Purim?
At the Mishnah?
When on Purim?
On the Mishnah.
Exactly. On the Seudas Purim.
The daf from all the sweets.
So, you know what? Maybe don't send sweets. And it's a problem because people send sweets. But the Gemara says that they sent wine, they sent meat, they sent fish.
You got to finish it all in.
They sent dates. They used to send a thigh of a calf, but it was not a calf. It was the third-born calf. The Gemara says that the healthiest calf is the third one to be born to its mother cow. I checked it up in Google. I couldn't find anyone who said that. But that's what the Gemara says. So I got to believe the Gemara. All right? They weren't sending this narishkeit that I give out here on Shabbos. You know, I try to give raisins. I try to make it a little healthier for the kids, but they never like the healthy stuff. I have very few clients for the healthy stuff. What?
My daughter was so excited to receive raisins, just so you know.
Yeah, that's good. She's well trained, you know.
Miserable rabbi.
raisins in the miserable rabble. There are some of these little punks, they refuse to take the raisins. Now, good for you. I'm offering you free raisins. You don't know what it costs me, you know what I'm saying? And they don't want the raisins. But there are other parents who are very mocked, they'll tell me only raisins. Now I have lollipops that are, what do you call it? What's the word? I'm sorry, it fell out of my. You know, when you buy vegetables that were never. They were never.
Vegan. Yeah. No.
What's it called? Close. Yeah, it's very organic. Exactly. So my wife spent twice the price of a regular lollipop for organic lollipops. And guess what? The same parents who only take raisins, they refuse to take my lollipops.
That's me.
Oh, that was you, John. Because there's sugar in it. You know what I'm saying? So you can't beat the system for those who are healthy. Anyway, on both sides, we got off on a tangent. But you're right, Brian. The best mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is not sweets. And I'm not saying you're not Yotzeh, I'm not saying that, but that's not what the mitzvah is all about. The mitzvah is to give the mainstay of the Seudah. And the Seudah's Purim and the Mishloach Manos are like one and the same. The Gemara even says that a poor person who can't give Mishloach Manos, if he gets invited to someone's Seudah, he takes two Manos and he gives it back to the host. Why? Because the host will incorporate it into his Seudah. The main thing is that Mishloach Manos is part of the Seudah. The Gemara says, therefore, you can give liquids like wine, even though sometimes Shasiya is not Achila. But on Purim, there's a mitzvah of Mishteh v'Simcha, and Mishteh means even wine, right? And maybe wine is critical on Purim, right? Mm-hmm. In any event, comes along the Ritva, Rabosai. Are you underlining this? This is mind-boggling. And he's saying that I'm going to borrow that word monos and I'm going to use it to explain Matanos of Yonim. Wait a minute. Matanos of Yonim is not Mishloach Manos. Well, maybe it is. Maybe there's a more direct connection here than we think between Matanos of Yonim and Mishloach Manos. But in any event, the Ritva clearly says that anyone who asks for a gift, for a matana, you give it to him, you don't check out his credentials, because this is not midin staka. He can't be more explicit than that. It's not a staka mitzvah. It's midin simcha umanos. Now, if you'll fast forward for a moment, again, I don't want to skip, but there is an interesting Rambam. The Rambam you'll find on the flip side of your page, on the top left, in a paragraph that says Vehine, Zelashon Rambam Perik Beis Milchus Megillah Chayav Lachalik LaAniim BiYom HaPurim Ein Pachus Mishnei Aniim No Sein LeKol Echad Matana Achas. And now the Rambam tells you what is this matana? Omos, give him cash. Everybody appreciates cash. Then he can go and spend it the way he wants to. Omine Tavshil. Omini Ochlim. Why not send him a suit? Wouldn't that be a beautiful gift?
Yes.
From Matanos of Yonim? Again, I don't know how you're getting him into the tailor, make it custom made. Yeah, it's going to be complicated. This is not, Bangkok, you know. In Bangkok, you know, every three steps, you know, the Arabs come and they tell you, come into my shop and I'll give you a custom made suit. We'll listen. What they don't tell you is that they make so many mistakes. For the $100 that you pay, you know, you're there for hours, and then you're running to the airport, and they still don't have the suit ready. So, but anyway, that's what you do in Bangkok. You know, if you're a woman in Bangkok visiting Bangkok, then every other step there's another massage parlor, and it's bupkis. I mean, they charge virtually nothing because the bat is worth nothing. So for 200 bats, you know, you get an hour's massage. It sounds like a lot of money, right? 200 bats. That's worth about 8 shekel. Unless it went up in the last half a year, I don't know. But so all I'm saying is that according to the Ritva, the law of Matanos of Yonim is not midin staka. It's somehow integrated into the fabric of Purim, and the fabric of Purim is basically the Seudah. Go ahead and take the money that I'm giving you, Mr. Evyon. Buy yourself something for the Seudah and have a blast. have simcha. And if I don't want to give you mos, then I'll give you mini tavshil, the Rambam says, mini ochlim. But nowhere does the Rambam mention giving him a diamond ring or giving him a new suit. That has nothing to do with the nature of Simcha on Purim. Simcha on Purim is a Sudas Purim. Let's go back to the paragraph that we see.
The money that you give an Ami on Purim, he's supposed to spend all that money.
Right. You will see that there's a special dispensation that if he needs it for other purposes, we'll allow it. But really, what that money is earmarked for is for the Sudas Purim.
It could bring Simcha if a guy is really battling and he's really in a bad state, and somebody comes along and gives him with a couple of 100 shekels, it will make him happy. Even if he doesn't spend it, at least he knows that he can go and clear
right.
A couple of
things. Well, let's say I give him a suit. Okay, I don't know, it's not easy to sell a suit on the market, but let's say I give him an article of clothing that has the original tags on it and something, and he could resell it. So then he could take that money, and he has the money. But the Rambam, when he formulates the categories of Matanos Avyonim, he doesn't mention begadim. He's not really interested in you giving him begadim. He's interested in giving you food or money that he can convert into food.
You can give food.
Food is up there front, high profile on the Rambam. For Matanos Avyonim! That's the teller here, Ramosa. You see, before I studied this essay, I was under the impression that Matanos Avyonim has nothing to do with Sudas Purim. Don't give him food. You want to give him food for Mishloach Manos? That's fine. That's exactly what Mishloach Manos is.
Then why give him money if he's going to spend it on food? Why not just
I don't have food to give him, so, or I don't know what he likes. I don't know what his favorite food is. Give him money and he'll buy the food.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Give him some money, let him do it.
No, but there's dafka mitzvah to give the money. And what's the money for? The money is so he buys food for the...
Correct. So what's your question?
Why not give him a bigger Mishloach Manos? Why does it have to be money? So he has to buy food.
Mishloach Manos, classically, is not given to an ani. I can have the richest friend in the world and I want to give him Mishloach Manos.
That would be valid, yeah.
Yeah, because Mishloach Manos has to do with engendering friendship. So that the preparation for the Suda is something that clinches our brotherhood. You know, that's called Reus. In the case of Matanos Avyonim, it means to give him the opportunity to enhance his Suda. But he's not a friend of mine. I never met the guy in my life. In fact, he puts his hand out. And I'm bubbling inside, I'm bursting inside to ask him, who are you? Who the H are you? You say, what credentials? What credentials do you have that I have to give you my Tanis Levion? The answer's name. Because we're not dealing with stalker. If we're dealing with stalker, I would say to him, buddy, where's your signature from the good rabbi? Hopefully the rabbi's still alive, you know what I'm saying?
From the devil. Yeah.
What?
I'm still not understanding, but the whole reason is so that he can have a Purim Suda out of it.
Right.
So then why...
He's in Evyon and he can't afford a Suda's Purim. So I'm going to help him.
Why don't we just make it easy for him? Why can't you also fulfill the mitzvah by giving him food? Because it's the purpose is for him to have Purim Suda. So we're giving him money. He now has to go to a shop somewhere. Then he has to come back to a Purim Suda. Why not make it easier
I didn't understand. Make it easier to him by what? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the punchline.
Because basically it's a tircha for him to go out and spend all that money somewhere, so why not just give him the food anyway, which he has
I don't have the food, or I don't know what food he likes. Let me ask you a question, Joel. If I would buy food for you, wouldn't you say to me, Burzon, take your food and run with it. Give me the money and I'll decide what food I want.
Show me the money.
So you go to a soup kitchen, you get what's there? What's the...
Whatever it is, I don't know if I have to go to a soup kitchen. He comes to me, knocks on my door. I'm going to run to a soup kitchen?
No, that's...
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
He comes to me in shul. We just read the Megillah, or we're about to read the Megillah, and he pounces on me. So I'm standing there in shul with my talis and tefillin on. Oh, wait a second. Let me run to the local supermarket the soup kitchen and get you some food. No, I'm going to dig into my pockets, give him 50 shekels or whatever I give him. If I'm very magnanimous, I'll give him 100 shekel and tell him, go buy yourself a bottle of beer. I don't know what you like. You know what I mean? And what kind of beer you like, Israeli beer or Gold Star, I don't know what beer, you know, malt beer, black beer. What do I know what he likes? You know, people bring me wine. Very nice. You know, I accept it. You know, I don't need the wine, believe me. But if you bring me wine, ask me which kind of wine I drink. You know what I'm saying? And it happens to be that because of my Chinese doctor, who's worried about my... Because I spent a week in Shaarin Zedek with my stomach problems. So the Chinese doctor tells me I have to drink dry white wine. Gavis. I hate it. I hate it. But that's what he told me to drink. So these very nice people bring me all sorts of wines.
Wait a minute, that's
wonderful, sweet wine.
Prescription, or if you are going to drink wine, then it has to be.
No, I mean for kiddush, right? I have to have kiddush on a day. Right. I usually do kiddush at least once a week. So I say to my Chinese guy, his name is Ofer. He's the only Chinaman with Ofer. No, he's not Chinese at all. He's a regular Israeli, but he has every degree on his wall from every Chinese institution you ever heard of. And I'm not going to tell you how much I spent to get this eitzah from him. That I should be drinking dry white wine. P.S. My stomach has not improved ki huzeh over the last 2 years, with all due respect to my friend Ofer Raz. But I'm a good boy, so he told me to drink white wine, so I drink white wine. So again, just to get back to your question, Joel, I'm not going to decide for you, if you put your hand out, what you want. You know what I'm saying? But the Rambam again encourages me. Yeah, if I have a tavshil, or what was the Rambam's language? Tavshil.
Tavshil
omini ochlim. You know, the Rambam is okay with ochlim. Okay. But there's a paragraph here that I skipped that I'd like to fill in now.
Sorry.
Just 1 second. Let me just see where I'm up to. Oh, at the end of the paragraph on the first page, v'nireh, if you count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up, harei mevur barosh, ubesmak, ubaritva, dematonis levyonim yeshno din miyuchad. What's a din miyuchad? What's din miyuchad?
You don't ask for it.
What, no, what, just translation. What is din miyuchad? Special laws. She'ein medadakim u'ani. When he says special, it means this is not an application of the universal rules that govern staka. Back in your day, as I said before. V'roi lite lo. And is he really up to par? You know, he's really an ani, and we should give him. He'll laugh. Well, maybe he's not. Elenostim l'kol adam sheyov over yit. By anyone who comes along and asks, we give it to him. She'ein zed din staka el din simcha umanos. That's the definition of Matanos Levyon. And all this belongs to Roman numeral number 2. Because Roman numeral number 1, as we saw in two ways, the laws of Matanos Levyonim are governed by the identical laws as Staka, which means that if you had a decision in your mind to allocate this money for Staka, for Matanos Levyonim, that's what you have to do. And number 2, Tosin Bar Metzia says that the Bnei Ha'ir, that according to Tosin and Erchin and the Mordechai, they hold that the laws that govern Tzedakah apply to Matanos Levyonim, and therefore the Bnei Ha'ir have the discretionary rights to reallocate the money that was collected for Purim. But now we're on to Roman numeral number 2. Tosfos Bava Metzia says that in the case of most Purim, unlike Tzedakah, the Bnei Ha'ir are not authorized to reallocate the money. Number 2, the law that applies to Tzedakah, that you have a right to ask him to prove that he really is a first-rate Ani, that doesn't apply on Purim. And he has a whole list of Rishonim, and they all base themselves on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, "Ein b'dagdikim b'em kol aposhet yoda litol yitol." It means that Matanos Levyonim is not stuck at all. Now we're up to the paragraph Vehine on the right side, and we say the following. Thank you. Okay. Now let's see. This is a challenge for me as a pedagogue to see if I can explain this paragraph. It's not easy, but I'll try. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we have two invitations in one sense, but there's a resha and a sefer. Listen carefully. Kol Dichvin, anyone who needs to, Yesev Yechol, come right in and join us for the meal. That's the ratio. Then it says, Kol Ditzrich, Yesev Yifsach. I'm inviting anyone who needs to join me for the Karban Pesach. Notice the difference in the language. The first opening line of Kol Dichvin Yesev V'Yechol is not referring to Korban Pesach. It's basically referring to matzah. What is the mitzvah on Pesach to collect money for matzah? Anybody know what that's called? Not all at once. I can't hear too many voices at once.
My head is not working.
Maos? Still didn't give it away?
Okay.
Kimcha de Pisca. Or Moschit. The same thing. One's in Hebrew, one's in Aramaic. Oh. When it comes to Kimcha de Pisca, de Pisca, there, that's not Midin Staka. So I'm not going to talk about Ditzrich. The word Ditzrich is omitted because there's a separate mitzvah that I have to provide the poor people with flour so that they can bake matzahs. What happens if you have money, or the community has money, designated for Kimcha de Pischa, and so-and-so comes up and he says, please, I need some money for Pincha de Kisim. Do I check him out? Do I ask him for his documents and his credentials? Prove your credentials. The law's
no.
Because we're not talking about stock. Kimcha de Pischa is a separate mitzvah that's generated by the Chag of Pesach. The Torah says that you, not only are you obligated to eat matzah, you're obligated to see to it that yenem, that somebody else eats matzah. That's called Kimcha de Pischa. And if you don't give Kimcha de Pischa, what we call moschitin, then you cannot fulfill your mitzvah of matzah, because your mitzvah of matzah means to provide the next one with matzah. That's a mitzvah that's generated by the chag, by the holiday of Pesach. Here it's not a tzedakah mitzvah, it's a Pesachdika mitzvah. And if it's a Pesachdika mitzvah, then the laws of tzedakah don't kick in and you don't ask him for his credentials. That's called Kol Dichvin Yesev V'Yechal. Anyone who decides that he wants to eat matzah with me, I will give him of my matzah. But not so with regard to the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, if you invite him to partake in your Korban Pesach, that is the mitzvah of tzedakah. And if that's the mitzvah of tzedakah, then he has to prove his credentials. That's what's called Kol Ditzrich. If I can define you as a Ditzrich, Ditzrich means you have a real tzorich. You have a definite need. You don't have the money to buy a lamb for the Paschal lamb. Then I will give you money. But first, you got to prove to me that you're a Ditzrich. Not so with regard to Moschitin. Kol Dichvin, everyone, it's an open gate. I'm not going to check you. I'm not going to ask you for credentials and proofs. It has the same status as Matanos Levyonim, the way we saw it in the previous paragraph. In other words, it's not coincidental that if you go back to the previous paragraph, which we started with the Tosa Rosh, and the Tosa Rosh says that on Purim, we don't ask for credentials. Why did the Tosis Rush, when he was defining the laws of Matanos Levyonim, borrow a phrase from the Haggadah Shel Pesach? And the answer is because he wanted to illustrate that we're not talking about staka. Just like Moschitin is not staka, Moschitin is the Chag. That's how I celebrate my Chagah Matzos. So too, how do I celebrate my Purim? By sharing the Simcha with others. And that's what Matanos Levyonim is about. It's a separate mitzvah. And if I'm sharing my Chag and my Simcha Sachag with others, I'm not going to ask for credentials. Asking for credentials is a halach in Hilchus Tzedakah. And therefore, it's absolutely appropriate for the Tosa Rush to use a terminology that he borrows from Haggadah Shel Pesach to explain the mitzvah Matanos Levyonim, because they are both the same. In both cases, the Chag and the celebration of the Chag is what generates the mitzvah of sharing and giving to others. Joel?
Yeah, so we said you don't ask for credentials and it's not about tzedakah as such. How about if someone comes to you and you do know their credentials, and let's say you know maybe that they're not going to use it, but do you have to still give to that person?
You're asking very good questions. I can't always answer them, but I think that we're talking about a scenario in which you don't know this guy. You know, he knocks on your door. He says, "I need kimcha de pischa." He knocks on your door and he says, "I need matanos levyonim on Purim." I don't know who you are. You're a faceless, anonymous person. My heart of hearts says, "I'd love to know what you have in the bank account. I'd love to see your credentials." But the halacha says, "Just give them." Partake in the chak. What?
Sorry, Rabbi. I think that could apply to even somebody that you think you know their credentials of the person. You're not allowed to ask questions. The person came to ask you for matanos levyonim.
Or kimcha de pischa.
It's not your problem. Your problem is to give.
No, but Joel's just saying that what happens if I happen to know that he's a fraud.
He's a social worker.
If you think the person's a fraud, there's no obligation to give him a lot of money.
No.
Right. We'll see that at least some Rishonim say all you have to give him is a shava pruta. So maybe,
like a small, very small.
So, Rabosa, I see we're getting close to Meiriv time. If we could open the door. I would ask you the following two questions. Number one, do you want to continue with this? And number two, are you available next Wednesday? It's Chanukah.
Next Wednesday.
I think we should pick it up after Chanukah.
After Chanukah.
I mean, I have some commitments on Chanukah. I got to eat my sufganiyot.
A week's worth.
With your jaw.
And after I eat sufganiyot, I'm going to be so poor that I'm going to ask you a poor for my tatas.
You know, in Switzerland, I was doing with you, I couldn't find anyone to give them a don't slip on it. Nobody. Can you imagine a town that's.
Switzerland.
Not in Jerusalem, that's in Switzerland.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. So, Bli Neder, if you remind me, we'll continue with this.
Thank you, Rabbi.
2 weeks from tonight.
Thank you.
That's a lovely show.
Thank you. Whole new perspective on Matanos Levyonim. We're not finished yet, but we'll see how we flesh it all out.
Okay.